This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Angela Barnes live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, we're back again. I'm live from the underbelly at Edinburgh Fringe. I have a few selected guests with me. Yay! Very specifically hand-chosen people to come and listen to the recording of our radio show. I am beyond excited today about the guests that we've got on the show. I'm not quite sure how we managed to do it, but we have. Well done, producer Amanda. Because today we have got, for your delectation, we've got the amazing Kyle Kinane, Brendan Burns, Glenn Wool, and Jess Robinson. So I am very excited. So why don't we just crack on? I'm going to introduce the first guest to the stage. Please give a big welcome to the brilliant Mr. Kyle Kinane. Woo! Make your way over and join us, Carl. There's a mic for you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. It does feel like the crack of dawn, doesn't it?
Yes, let's take off clothes because
I should have warned you. To the people at home, we are sitting under basically stadium floodlights is what we have in this room. And we are melting. To say it's overkill is a complete understatement. But how are you doing?
I'm good. This is my first Fringe.
So have you been warned?
But I don't know about, I don't know what to expect from it.
Yeah.
So I'm all in.
Good.
I was pissing and moaning about it before I came.
Well, then you are right in the spirit of the Fringe. Let me tell you that. When did you arrive?
I got here Tuesday. My bags haven't yet, so.
Still haven't.
Sorry for the undershirt and other things radio listeners can't see.
That's all right. At least you're not going to sweat to buggery under these lights and ruin the one set of clothes that you've got. That's cool. So tell us what venue you're in. You're in the Belly Dancer, is that right?
Underbelly.
I've got my little notes in front of me.
I really don't. I don't know. It's in an old building. That's all I could tell you. It like everything here. It's in an old building, and I've been lost going to it every night. So
yeah, that will carry on till the day before the last performance.
It's by a bridge.
Cool. There we go.
By
the bridge, ladies and gentlemen. That's where you'll find Kyle Kinane at 10 o'clock every night.
10:10 in the PM.
How many shows are you in now? Done two?
I did a preview Wednesday, and then the first one was last night, and it was pretty fun.
Good. Yeah. So, obviously, you're here from the States. People will know you from all sorts of things. They'll know you from being a voice on Bob's Burgers.
I was on there.
Is this your first time in Scotland?
I was here. I did the Glasgow Festival a couple of years back.
Okay, cool. But this is obviously your first Fringe, so.
Yeah.
And where are you staying? Are you?
No,
we don't want the address. We send people around.
Number four. by the Craig. What is it? What's the mountain called?
I don't even know. The Crag?
The Crags.
Crags?
Plural Crags.
Nice. Are you going to walk up Arthur's Seat?
I've been saying I was going to.
I've been saying that for the 20 years I've been coming to the Fringe. Still haven't.
Wake up at noon, look at it, one of these days, we're going to summit that thing. And there's just children walking up it, and I'm like, I'll get there. I should train first.
So I'm concerned for your luggage. Have you located it?
No. British Airways, can I say that?
You can say what you like on this station.
I don't know what's going on. They said they have it, but whatever. I bought some delightful fashions.
Good.
On Prince's Street.
Got yourself a kilt?
No, just these jeans.
And have you tried a haggis yet?
I have had some yesterday, and I have no unique take on it. I thought it was perfectly fine.
Excellent.
And I'm sorry that it's such a maligned food everywhere else. I apologize on behalf of the rest of the world that we make fun of your haggis. It's a slightly boring type of sausage.
Yeah, you've got it. We had Michael Shea on yesterday, and he was disgusted with the idea of haggis. He almost walked out at the idea of a sheep's stomach. So I'm sure you eat worse stuff than that in a burger.
Yeah, that's the thing. I love hot dogs, so I can't judge anybody else's choice in food. At least you know what's in haggis. Nobody knows what's in a hot dog.
Exactly.
I'll eat three of those in a sitting. So I'm not here to cast judgment on what you want to jam into a sheep's belly.
Good call. So tell us about your show, Carl. What can people expect if they come along? Ghost Pizza Party?
Yeah, my show's called Ghost Pizza Party. It was a name that I never done where you have to have a show with a title. Like in the States, you're just a stand-up. Like, here's Kyle. And then you just tell jokes, and people laugh or they don't. But here, there's a title, and a funny picture for your poster, like, oh, I have so many questions about the world, or boy, do I have answers about the world. And so 6 months ago, I had a joke about Ghost Pizza Party, but I don't even do that joke anymore. So, so if you come to it expecting discussions of that, I'm sorry to let you down.
That is the key, because you have to name the show before you've written it, right? So I think the key, my show's called Come As You Are, because I just thought that is so vague.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and it's, yeah, like, no expectations or anything. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do, put a pun in there? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
No offense, see, that I offended everybody here.
And how, so far, I mean, I know you're only two shows in to the Fringe so far, but I guess we were talking to Michael Shea yesterday about the difference between British audiences and the audiences in the States. Would you say that it's a completely different experience to do shows here?
I mean, it's not totally. I think just like, I so far it's been like much more like you judge the things here, not like in a personal judgment, but like there's stars and it's reviewed like theater, which is funny for people from the States, because if you get reviewed well, you really think like, well, it's about time somebody noticed that I'm an artist, and but if you get reviewed poorly, you're like, well, they don't know shit. Comedy's subjective, so you can't really rate it anyway. Just because one person didn't get it doesn't mean it's bad. So you could find the good or bad in either situation of being rated. But,
do you read your reviews?
Reviewings, I'll read them. I mean, I'll disagree with them, but what? I mean, what? Like, I don't know, like stars. Like, I won already.
Yeah,
I won. I do comedy for a living.
Well, yeah,
I win.
You're so right.
I don't have to go to an office or a warehouse for a paycheck anymore. You don't have to give me any stars. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I pulled this off.
Yeah, and. Compared to a reviewer, particularly, you've definitely won at life.
That's- yeah, I should really, by the way, shit on all the reviewers now before they've even seen the show. So they come in with a real attitude towards it.
Apparently they are people, but, you know, that's what I've been told.
Do they get their own show here? Do they get their own show for comedians?
They should. We should get to review them.
Reviewers are people, too. Yeah. And then they can explain their side of things.
That's not a bad idea. Let me make a note. Hang on.
Let's put it out there. Show your faces, viewers.
Kyle, I don't know about you. I am actually melting. Are you? It's so hot under these lights.
Yeah. When did radio need so many lights?
I know. I'm not entirely sure. And I'm concerned because I dyed my hair yesterday. And I'm worried that the people that are in the audience are going to think that I'm bleeding from the head. Because I have got bright red hair at the moment and I am sweating profusely.
Yeah,
so let's
long.
See. The thing is now, I will start bleeding, and these people aren't going to do a fucking thing, and I'm just going to die here. That's
you got a sweater on, too. Here we go.
Oh, that's a bit better. Way. Now all we need is a fan. They've dimmed the lights for the people at home. This is brilliant radio. This is working out really well. I did this show yesterday, and I had exactly the same problem. And what have I done? I've come wearing a jumper. What a fucking idiot. Because I don't know. Edinburgh weather is flummoxing, isn't it? I don't know what to wear. I don't know what to pack. My boyfriend's coming up at the weekend. He's like, what should I pack? Everything.
Lose your bags, and that answers the question.
Yeah, well, there you go. You just have to buy whatever you need that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Right, let's get another guest to join us, shall we, Kyle?
I'll do that.
Let's bring up the brilliant Mr. Brendan Burns, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, come and join us, Brendan. Grab a mic.
Morning/midday.
It does feel like morning at the Fringe, doesn't it? This is practically 5 a.m.
Yeah, it is, but
Fringe time.
Well, 5 a.m. is night, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. How you doing?
I'm good. Haven't started yet. Oh, I started the wrestling show last night. That was fine.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah. It was good. But watching bad wrestling in front of wrestling fans.
Sounds like a winner.
It's kind of it's weird because I was just telling Kyle and Glenn, I need a failure or some sort of disaster to kind of get my game on, because you're feeling too laid back.
Get complacent.
That's fucking death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's that thing you were talking about, reviewing the reviews. There's actually a website called Fringe Pig, which puts up the worst reviews of the festival.
Oh,
but
really?
Not like about someone, but the most misinformed review wins an award this year.
Oh, really?
Amazing.
Yeah,
did you see the Marcel Lucon one last year?
Yeah, how they didn't know it was a character.
There's a character act. It's a guy called Alexis Dubas does a character called Marcel Lucon, and it's brilliant. It's this misanthropic Frenchman. And a student reviewed it and just didn't get that it was a character.
Yeah.
And the review started, I think, with the line, I don't really like stand-up comedy. No. What the fuck are you doing reviewing it?
And then he said,
this
French man is deeply arrogant. He may as well just reviewed Alan Partridge and gone, he hasn't done his research about the guests.
She gave it one star and he proudly put it on all his posters. It was amazing. I think she got more publicity last year than anyone could have imagined.
I think they won the award, but it's Fringe Pig. And then, yes, reviews, okay. Bad reviews. It's quite funny.
I'll definitely be checking that out.
But what is interesting about that as well, like, you know how you said people have to come here with a theme? Yeah. And it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another. As an American, your first time coming, you actually get a license to do straight stand-up because they get to describe what you're like for the first time, which is easy. Wow. But then if, like, say, myself or Glenn Wool, who's been coming here for 10, 15 years, you almost have to go, you're almost pressured to make their job easier for them. Because if they have to explain what we're like 15 years in a row, yeah. I mean, let's face it, it's mostly people that, you know, that don't want to work for a living. You know, they don't want to go to stuff and see stuff for free.
Yeah.
So that becomes a bit harder, and they it does give them a bit of a slap in the face.
And they have to justify their own job by, you know, coming up with a long description. But like, it was funny. I liked it.
It's one of those things that if you write a laser beam, then the show can carry you. You know what I mean? A show that if you write a very tight-knit show, that can carry you. But
never been a hallmark of mine.
Yes, exactly.
Do you read your reviews, Brendan?
No.
No, I try to avoid them.
I didn't like, since it's a free fringe, I don't really have to do anything.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I don't even have to
tell
people where
it is. Is it your first time on free fringe?
No, I did it last year.
You did? How'd you find it?
I was panicked the first day. I thought, how the fuck are people going to find me? My venue isn't actually where it's listed.
Right.
But then it actually turns out that because of that, only people that really wanted to see me sought me out. Perfect. And why, I realized after two decades of coming here, of why am I busting my ass to get those extra 20 bums on a seat when those bums belong to a cunt?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm done trying to win anyone over or talk.
Carl looks
anyone.
Worried. You can say cunt on this radio station. Oh, it's absolutely fine.
Satellite radio, man. Racist words.
Yeah, maybe there's a limit there, Brendan. Let's
let's Hulk Hogan this motherfucker up. If only he said brother. He says brother all the time.
Which, you know, the other word's just been sitting in his head.
Yes,
so often.
Yeah. I know. It really ruins all his promos now.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, man.
Was it, I mean,
so
as somebody...
Once I stopped playing the game, it's so freeing. Ooh. Because now, I mean, I have a very, very tiny, very devoted fan base. So they will come and see me no matter what, and they are totally okay with paying me direct.
Yeah.
But also, through doing that, I now actually have... We all thought we had artistic freedom up here, but we don't, because there is the pressure of you've got to have a tight-knit show, you've got to appeal to certain people that come in the room, you've also got to make sure that you kind of make reviewers' jobs easier by mm-hmm. having a theme. Or and then without that, and it's just you and your audience, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Last year, I threw a barbecue.
Amazing.
Which was not a good move.
Health and safety gone mad.
No, cooking for 80 people turned out that was not the day off I thought it would be.
So you got food critics and theater critics there to review it? So is that what happened?
I mean, my PR rang me in the middle of the run last year and said, I almost feel bad about taking your money because you're just not bothered, are you? And I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
In actual fact, when I got a good review, the next day the room was like 5 stars in The Scotsman is the kiss of death. You will play to the cuntiest audience ever the next day because they've read The Scotsman and they just sit there with folded arms and just going, oh, I think you're good, do you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody thinks they like comedy. They don't.
No. No, they don't.
They really think, no. Like, well, if it's comedy, it should appeal to everyone. No, it doesn't.
No, no.
It's the same music thing. Oh, this is the best heavy metal band. I'll go see it because I like music. Yeah, but you don't like heavy metal.
Yes.
Don't go to that show.
Yeah.
That's not for you. And it's, to see people like, well, it should be universal. No, it doesn't have
to. Well, you're exactly. Absolutely right. Because that's a comedy. You're trying, I think when you start out, you're trying to please everyone. Aren't you? You're trying to do sets where you can go to a comedy club and then you go, I can't.
That's why it took this long to get to the middle. I was not trying to please everyone.
I want to know something from Kyle. Is I have been very gushing about Kyle over the past 2 years, about his last two albums. And Glenn Wool, who's coming up, is on amazing form as well. I strongly recommend you go and see both of these guys. They're amazing. But also, because I've been so gushing, he has avoided seeing me. And I think it's because he's worried that he'll fucking hate what I do. And the thing is, the fact that I know that should probably let you know you'll be all right.
Nah.
Is it because I had the show after you in London and I never made it out of bed until 8 o'clock?
No, because he kept on doing that thing of like, yeah, I'll come see you. And I'm looking in his eyes going, he's worried he's going to hate it.
How many people do you say that to during a Fringe? Yeah, I'll come see your show. Yeah,
I know, I've done that. Yeah. And people are like, man, I'm going to love you. Could you come and see me? No.
I get weird,
don't want that happening.
I get weird at festivals and I don't go see any shows, which sounds terrible. But it's just because, like, I just get intimidated by the whole thing.
I think there's two outcomes.
I hibernate.
There's two outcomes. You're either going to see a show that's so brilliant, it'll make you feel shit about your show, or you're going to see a show that's so bad, it'll make you feel shit for that person. So, do you know what I mean? You're just like, oh, God, I'll just maybe not see too much.
Here we have. We just spent the first 20 minutes bagging reviewers for slagging off. And then every comic's gone, I'm not going to see something in case it's good or bad. What a fucking pack of cunts we are. Horrible, loathsome
cunts. Do you watch
cunts.
Shows while you're up here? I mean, I've been to a couple
with a
already.
Wrestler who's a massive comedy fan.
Ah.
And every year, you know how people come up here and they say, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to go to shows, I'm going to go to the gym, and it never happens. I'm living with the one guy that does all those things.
Has he been up Arthur's seat?
He collects passes. No, he hates walking. He goes to the gym. And then, like, he goes to the gym for 3 hours a day and then comes back and bitches that we live at the bottom of a hill.
Amazing.
It's fucking hilarious. We're so far away from everything, man.
Yeah, just don't go to the gym.
But he collects passes.
Oh, he's one of those.
And the funny thing is, because he's got a performer's pass, bouncers don't believe him. And because they think he's beaten up like some nerdy artist. And I had to explain to him, dude, we're in an environment where I'm considered kind of jockey. You know? So the jockish, not like little jockey.
Yeah.
So I was like, I noticed that didn't land at all. Yeah. That didn't land
just
at all.
You're going to love me,
Kyle.
Pony.
You're going to love me. I got a whole bunch of shit that doesn't land.
Tell us about your show. You do two shows.
No,
right?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, go on, Brendan.
I'm on the
Come
free
on,
fringe.
Brendan.
You do the work. Fuck you. I'm not begging. It's not where it's listed. It isn't. Like every year when people like turn up, it's off a piss stained. All I'm going to say is it's off a piss stained alley, off another piss stained alley. And if you feel while you're out the front, there's no way this can be it, that's it.
And, amazing.
And the beauty of that is that then when the diehard fans have actually found me, there's a sense of excitement. And whenever anyone... And let's face it, I wrote this in an article that's coming out next week, but we're all whoring ourselves to some degree up here. But by taking myself out of the price market, I've become a high-end hooker because I can now choose my clientele. Yeah. And if someone sits there with folded arms, I can just reach into their pocket and just take out a 20 and then go, now you can be a cunt. But you didn't pay to get in. But the thing is, I made a video of that last year. I put it up on YouTube, and the following night, a guy did that. And as I was reaching into his pocket, he went, oh, fuck, I saw the video and everything. Fuck. But so, no, I'm not. I'll do stand-up some days. Other days, I'm recording my podcast. Other days, I will probably do like a wrestling special with a couple of friends. So you have to follow me on Twitter.
That sounds so freeing.
It's
like
amazing.
Somebody's just doing the show every day, just the freedom of going, what am I going to do today?
Once I accepted what it was last year, because opening night was a disaster, and I went home and I fucking cried and rang my wife, and I haven't cried at the festival in God knows how long. I'm not a girl. Right? And I cried, and I just like, you know, I was just bawling to my wife, and my wife is just, you know, I married up.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But she goes, Brendan, she put in perspective for me. She goes, Brendan, every year you have a fake bit talking about how humble you're being. What could be more humbling than standing there with a bucket and thanking every single audience member that came to see you? So when it comes to coming to see me, I'm going to be coy. But if you find it and you arrive, then you get nothing but love from me.
Ah, what amazing. Are you guys going to seek him out? I mean, they've got to say he's sitting right here, guys. Come on.
Look, they sort this out. Yeah. I'll be honest, let's face it, we're not in any danger of foot traffic here.
Oh, man. I'm gonna seek you out, Brendan. I want to come and see what you're doing because I just like the sound of, like, you say, just having that freedom.
It's amazing because also it's the show is filled with passionate, diehard fans. So as opposed to, and I think all that transient audience that we used to pluck from at the many different main venues, they've all kind of gravitated to the free fringe.
Yeah.
And there's a real sense of happening just because they found it.
Yeah.
And, you'll see, like, rather than people like, and I get it. For an audience, it's quite nerve-wracking. Like, even walking into this room and you're looking around and you're going like, oh, there's only 10 of us. This was hard to find. Oh, they're looking at us, all that sort of shit. And often when people don't have a warm-up act or anything like that to give a sense of fanfare, people actually don't know how to behave in the first 5 minutes of a show.
Yeah.
The first 5 minutes is about making them not nervous.
Yeah.
So when they found it and they're already excited and we're recording everything for the podcast, there's this kind of happening vibe. And, I mean, I've had every kind of festival going, but last year was the best year I've ever had. It was the most fun I've ever had. And I look forward to going to work every night, which has not been the case because, you know.
Yeah. When was your first Fringe, Brendan? How long have you been going?
1996.
Wow. See, I came in 95 as a student.
And it shows in the beard. I shave the neck. It's all grey.
Have you been every year?
I missed 1 year, I think.
Yeah. Wow. That's dedication and self-harm.
Nowhere better to go.
Let's bring on our third guest. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the brilliant Mr. Glenn Wall.
Glenn Wall, ladies
Woo!
And gentlemen.
Come on. Come join us, Glenn. There's a mic on the seat for you there. How are you doing?
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
2 days in.
I get this weird piss thing. It just feels like I always need a piss when I'm stressed. It's really strange. Yeah, that's
apparently. Is that just started happening, or is it an age thing?
No, it's been going on for a year, but it comes and goes. I don't always feel like I need to pee, but yeah.
Just when you're stressed.
Just diabetes. Don't worry.
No. I've been I've been going through a battery of tests because I got my health care back in Canada, and they don't know what it is, and then. I went to a doctor here, and they said, "Well, you gotta go get tested for STDs." So I was in an STD clinic yesterday.
Lovely. Yeah. This is not how I envisioned this interview starting. This is amazing.
Shut up! I'm telling a story. Everyone, shut up. Yeah, this is why you never put four comics on a radio. Well, we'll just give them all mics, see what happens. It's like a choir. The doctor said, "At what age were you when you started having sex, roughly?"
And when I started said, having sex, roughly. I said, I've done the time story.
I said, "Well, it was just after my divorce," and I really enjoyed that. And I giggled, and then she checked me downstairs for any visible signs, and she said, "Nope, your genitals are fantastic." And I said, "Can I put it on my poster?"
She gave you a star.
So anyway, I had to go and do an interview for the news. A live interview for the news, and I thought that was a really funny story. So I tried to tell that on the news, and I scared the shit out of some newscasters. Like, as soon as they said, "Well, how have you been doing?" "I've been in an STD clinic all day," and happy and happier were like, "Whoa, ho, ho, that's the Fringe for you." "Where are you from? What are you doing?" "Don't mention herpes, sir." That's the look they gave me. I didn't know newscasters had a look that they can throw that's like that, but they did. So
you know when you do things like that, that you don't have your own camera filming their response. Like, you should have seen the look on your face. I got ya. I'm just proud of you. When she asked what age, you didn't say 9 against your will.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dear.
No. Nah. It was all there. I was trying to keep it light, though, you know. Oh, it's on the news, goddammit.
Have you got the results? Are you still waiting?
No, it's not that kind of STD clinic. I didn't rush in going, "I need to know! I got a big date, whatever the price."
So you're still waiting?
Yeah, no, it takes a week. I mean, you can get them done sooner, but if you need that, you're a slut.
So I was going to talk about your show, but this is far more interesting.
I know. I don't want to talk about my show.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. If you want to know about the show, I got a little trick for you. Come see it.
Hey! Good call. 9:20 at Assembly George Square Studios. I'll just get that in.
Yeah.
I think next year's Fringe should just be called Koi.
No.
You want it, you find it.
Yeah.
Save a fortune on PR. Just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when people are like that, like, why should they come see your show? It's just like, well, like, obviously I'm funny.
Why else would I be here?
I wouldn't have been able to slip through this many hurdles. And then, like, this is opening night. Okay, what now?
But I like the should question. Why should we? You shouldn't.
Yeah. If you
there's
have
no
to
pertinent
ask.
Information that's going to change your life. I'm not solving mysteries.
Yeah, why exactly should I see a comedy show? So your face can laugh. Yeah.
Because I got your social security number. I'm going to rob you if you don't. Like, well, no.
Do you think there is a bit of pressure now, isn't there, to have a show that means something? Like, it's got to mean something. Whereas the people aren't buying into straight stand-up as much at the Fringe. It's sort of sad, isn't it, that's you're expected as a club comic to come to the Fringe and do something different to that. Really,
there will be a backlash, like, in 2 years' time against themed shows.
You reckon?
Yeah. The pressure's been, it always happens where something, there's pressure to do something.
Yeah.
And then everything becomes that. And then everyone has a backlash against it and starts it off.
Yeah. Because there is that sort of snobbery, isn't there, between club comedy and Edinburgh. You know, people think that club comics can't do Edinburgh and vice versa. And sort of,
yeah,
have you found
I think
that?
The best way to get an Edinburgh show ready is to break it up in pieces and do it in a club.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you take all the stuff out, all the poignancy, and just like the actual boom stays in, because too much poignancy in a row is not really a comedy set. It's more like a eulogy or something.
Well, sure, you can feel like you're at a lecture sometimes. Like, yeah. Like, oh, I seem to be learning. That's not what I paid for.
You take your club set and you come to Edinburgh and you take all the, stop it, sit down. Shut up.
I don't know who the burger's for. It's your job.
Your
waiter.
A lot of the poignancy is too. It's not like I'm learning. It's like, this is something I thought when I was 24.
Yeah.
How did this idiot chisel money out of my pocket?
Why is this?
Am I having
point
a poo right now when I was 12? Because I remember thinking this at the time.
Why is this moot point sold as revelation?
Yeah. He better not have a power. He's got a PowerPoint. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, shit. I've got a PowerPoint.
It better not be baby photos. Have you got a photo of you at 5?
I haven't got a photo of me at 5, but I have got a PowerPoint. Shit.
I'll be back next year.
A little piano music and the show's over.
I had a PowerPoint last year and I swore fucking blind that I wouldn't have one this year, and I've ended up with one. It's just for
one.
A bit at the end of the show.
It's hard to work out. It's a lot of work to get it ready, but it is a crutch, and you can turn up in any condition.
Yeah.
With a PowerPoint. You can, because, you know, say if during your set you all of a sudden go like, I haven't hit this quite right. So you're thinking 15 minutes ahead, and for about a good 15 minutes of the show, you're just not present. Mm. You're thinking ahead about gradually changing the tone. PowerPoint and multimedia, you have about 20 chances to reset and go, right, now how am I doing this? What am I doing? You've actually got like moments to yourself while you're on stage.
Well, yeah. I only use it at the end, just the ending of the show, and I've got like a little film at the end, because I find it really hard to end a show. Like, you know, in a club set, you do your
you do is you say goodnight.
Yeah.
And then you walk off the stage.
Well, you can cobble together
you make
a cheap
it sound so
theme,
easy.
So, yeah, you just make a college essay where you have an introduction, and you fill the middle with whatever bullshit you want, and then the conclusion, you just restate the introduction again, and people are like, oh, it all came together. You know, the middle, you just talked about hot dogs and Bigfoot, and it doesn't matter. Because at the end, you went, and those were the lessons my father taught me. Oh, God, it was fucking brilliant.
Oh, God, I only did a fucking dead dad show last year. Jesus, I'm just ticking all the boxes. I'm so sorry. I'm just learning. I'm new.
I've been using an epilogue where I actually announce it at the end. I say, epilogue. And then I pretty much describe, like, I go, this is the point of the show where the comics do, they connect the first joke to the last joke.
These are the points.
So here goes.
This is what'll be on the test. If you weren't paying attention to the whole thing.
Let's signpost those things.
I always love, like, remember old, like, cop shows? They always had epilogues.
Yeah.
Effectively, we're being applauded for remembering our own beginning.
Yeah.
He remembered the beginning of his own show after a month.
Yeah.
I've always thought that the phenomenon of the callback is quite because it does work, doesn't it, to an audience? But you like, all you've done is just mention something again that you mentioned before, really. Like,
yeah.
It's,
yes.
Yeah. It's quite a giving away.
You've already said this.
Yeah. So, hey! Ba-dum-tsch. Let's bring on our final guest, ladies and gentlemen. Please give us a big hand. Welcome to the stage, the great Jess Robinson.
I so feel like the new girl.
Oh, mate, tell me about it. You're the same as me, I think, on your second show, is that right?
Yeah.
How are you fighting? It's scary, isn't it, doing the second show?
It is, and these are all, they're all so seasoned, and then I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, like, look at them. God. They look it, we don't. Show, it's fine. Though. It's fine. Yeah. Look at our fresh faces.
Okay, you're fresh.
Thank you for using seasoned instead of old.
I know. Just put on a gravelly voice, you're all good.
Oh, nah, I don't like that.
There's a little feels.
So you did your first show last year. Yeah, yeah. So how did you find, because I found it, the first show is, you know, putting in everything you've ever written and hoping for the best. And then the second show is, fuck, I've got to write a show in a year.
Yeah, it's a difficult second album, isn't it?
It's a difficult thing to do. I mean, you guys now obviously used to writing shows in a year, but can you remember what that felt like when you suddenly went, oh, fuck, I've got to do an hour in a year?
Yeah. It's always been, it's a fucking year. It's a year.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're like me, you do it all in.
If you're only writing an hour in a year, then you're not working hard.
Wow. Well, shit. Well. What amazed me was, because I produced my own show last year as well, which was a baptism of fire, so I didn't know about budgets. I borrowed 10 grand from my sister.
Oh, family borrowing.
So I have paid her two back, so that's good. I had to think about doing the posters, finding my own PR, doing just all the things that I would never ever think about. I just used to getting up on stage and
there's so much that goes into doing a fringe show. People think, well, you just go to, and people who aren't involved in comedy get blown away that we lose money when we start doing this. They can't get their heads around it. It's like, well, hang on, you work every day, people buy tickets to see a show you're doing every day, and you come away out of pocket. How does that work? You know, and I think that's where the free fringe is coming into its own. Yeah.
It's to delude yourself, you're famous for a month.
Well, yeah.
I guess. Put your poster everywhere and you go, look, there I am.
Yeah.
It's your name up in not lights.
It's your name up in glue.
Yeah.
With a dick drawn on your head.
How long did that take this year?
To draw the dick?
Yeah.
I got a dick person that comes in. I got a dicker.
It's added to the budget.
I love that year, the controversy, how there's always a fake controversy every year.
The
cunt and the gang?
Yeah, the penis stickers.
And they had penis stickers and they just stuck them on every comedian's heads. You can really tell who the comedians are and who aren't by the ones that got upset. That's my poster and I spent a lot of money. Someone put a dick on your head. Fuck off. It's hilarious. You should be like, I'd almost be putting them in places specifically to get, I hope, a dick sticker. Like,
I'm not good enough for a dick sticker.
On my gravestone, I want someone to stick a dick sticker.
Is that what you want on your gravestone?
Yes.
Just, and nothing else.
You can just get it engraved if you're that dedicated to it.
What's that thing you used to do about, like, on your gravestone?
Oh,
you wanted
to
have?
Born December 23rd, 1976, died in your arms tonight.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Nice. So, Jess, tell us, these guys don't want to talk about their shows, but I'm sure you'll tell us about your show.
Yeah, but not very articulately, probably.
Nah, give it a go.
I've used articulate, so I've peaked now, haven't I? Oh, dear.
You do a character show, is that right?
It's lots of impressions, loads and loads of singing, mashups. I've got a fantastic musical director called Kirsty Newton, who you know, don't you?
Oh, I know Kirsty, yeah.
So brilliant. She's brilliant. She plays a piano for me, and I do things. We've got these two wheels. They're called the Wheels of 64 Tunes. And we've got eight singers on one. Well, eight celebrities, I should say, because Cheryl Cole's on there. And eight songs on the other. And we spin them. And whatever comes up, we have to perform. Like Julie Andrews singing All About That Bass. And, Shirley Bassey singing Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff like that. It's great.
That's really fun.
So it's a different show every night.
Brilliant.
Is there anyone that you... Don't. Is there any combination that you don't want to happen?
Most of them, because we haven't practiced any.
See the show early, folks.
Yeah. I'm going to doctor that board.
Put a little weight on the wheel there.
It was very terrible.
Conrad Bain. Singing Fuck the Police.
It's bad.
I'd pay to see that.
We decided early in the run last year to take Yoko Ono off. It was just racist.
So difficult to do that without being racist.
Yeah, it was just
racist to include an Asian person.
Just my impression was so awful.
You didn't have to do the eyes.
Exactly.
Do you follow Yoko Ono on Twitter?
You draw the line at the face.
Do you follow her on Twitter? She's mental.
I do.
Brilliant.
I love her.
What?
Follow
Yoko Ono's crazy? Not my Yoko.
You guys. Follow her on Twitter. It's incredible. It's incredible. What was the recent thing about...
How do you spell?
Follow her on Twitter.
What was it she said recently about leaving... Oh, see, I'm going to get this wrong now. There's something she put on Twitter about leaving something everywhere, like leaving a bit of litter or something everywhere you go as a... I've got that wrong.
They do that in Lewisham.
Yay! So you do impressions in your show?
I do.
You know what I'm going to ask, don't you?
Would you like to hear a little bit of Cheryl Cole?
Oh, at least that.
I'll do her in a minute. Yeah, I do lots of impressions.
Were you on Dead Ringers?
I was.
How was that?
It was really nice. It was good. I was in the last two television series.
Right.
So I mainly did the characters that Jan didn't want to do, Jan Raven.
Right.
No, I'm not doing that. And it was really, really fun. Really good.
So what character, who did you do on Dead Ringers?
Oh, I did a little bit of Claudia Winkleman. Hello, hi. Eyeliner, fringe, career.
I love how you can't see this on the radio, but the face does it as well.
Yeah, I imagine I've got a big fringe at that point.
Yeah.
And after that, I sort of just started doing lots of voiceovers and radio stuff and great. Lots of bits and bobs.
You voice cartoons and
I do.
Things like that, because you've done some of that as well, Kyle, haven't you? Because it looks like fun, but I guess it's just you in a booth with headphones on. And
it's silliness.
It's so silly.
It was funny that you forgot to speak into your microphone.
Yeah, I was the same thing.
King of the voiceovers.
Yeah, you've turned it off now.
Kyle, that was great. This time, could you face the mic? That would be good.
I was actually acting in a thing a few weeks ago, and I got up and left my script where I was sitting under my head. I got up and walked out of the scene. They're like, Kyle, next time you want to put your lines in your pocket or something so you don't just get out of the chair and leave the script in the scene. Like, I'm not good at any of this. I don't know how I got
just
the jobs.
Just fronted. Like, no, that's fake how I do it.
Fake it till
you. My method.
This is, I ass read. And if you can't handle that, then you get
it's
another
an osmosis
actor.
Test.
That's right.
You hire Kyle Kinane, you get Kyle Kinane.
And then he farted his lines at them. It was the most amazing thing anyone had ever
he's
seen.
He's like the new Brando. We just don't know what he's doing.
No pants.
Oh, where's he got him stuck this time? Right side of the head.
So, yeah, I'm intrigued about the voicing. So they do the cartoon and you voice it while you're watching it? How does it work?
You voice it before. And then you're brought back in when you fucked up and they make you revoice it to some little bits of the cartoon. Yeah,
have you ever done it where they've animated already and then you got to match a cartoon mouth talking?
So like, awful at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like, this is terrible.
No,
this is not going to be a good cartoon at all.
Yeah. I spent quite a lot of last year playing a little fat American boy. Who spoke like that? It really hurts. After 5 hours, it really hurts.
I did that on the internet once. I played him good.
Is that part of your plea deal? Is that what that was?
Did it hurt after 5 minutes?
Oh, no. Why do you think I was in the STD clinic yesterday?
Sorry, Jess. You
that's all right. The most valuable thing I learned was how to do a really good wet fart sound, though, because that's what he used to do all the time.
What was this for?
Come on.
Oh, that's
good, isn't it?
Oh, this is bring back some ghosts for me.
No, I can't do that one. You do that one.
The double hand.
Show me that.
I can do the double
do you want me to hold your mic?
Makes me dizzy.
Do it.
Well, then definitely do it.
Really?
Yeah, it's worth it for this.
I'm not sure I know what the double hander is. I'm sure Glenn could tell us. I don't know. Is
I can't show you that.
It's a different version.
I've set myself a bit of a
do you want me to hold the mic for you? All right. Come on.
I haven't done it since I was a kid.
Here we go. Burnsy's double hander.
Oh,
he's licking his palms.
He's checking the wind.
So spot the man with the teenage kid. Who doesn't like it when I do this?
This is for you, Burnsy's boy.
Wow, it's a little...
Those of you at home couldn't see this, but I think there was some real fart in there.
Radio. I don't know what is. The length of it. You actually have got pink.
I'm a published author. I've written for The Guardian.
Your turn, Angela.
I think that is actually how you spell...
We remembered stuff we said earlier!
Yay! The callback, ladies and gentlemen.
5 stars!
Can you do a fart?
Let's tie it all together with a poignant story about the environment and get the fuck out of here.
The reason that I learned to fart like that was because the kids at school were a lot bigger than me.
You gotta and wait then, for the lighting change. We gotta do this in a spotlight.
Bring the lights down, please. Bring the lights down. That's perfect. Yeah. They bullied me a lot. So in order to entertain them, in actual fact, I never got selected to tour New Zealand for our rugby team. I was the only one that wasn't any good. So I learned to fart with my hands. And they would throw chips at me. Good night, everybody.
Cue tears, cue lights, cue music. Ah!
Banana.
That's an old picture of Arthur Ashe in the back.
He's doing the walk-off. Quick, look round to check they're crying. We're off. 5 stars.
I looked around. Kyle, this time, when you do it, can you not walk away from the mic?
Oh, man. So, Jess, you've done one show already, have you?
Two already. Two.
Happy? Yeah. All good?
Yeah.
We're sort of in the swing of it now, aren't we? We're kind of in the... what just happened?
Brendan's
lost it. What?
So
He just got his own fart joke.
you always know... Someone's ready for Edinburgh. How scrunched up their faces. You go, how was it?
Yeah.
Like her nose went right up her forehead.
I can't help it, I'm Jewish.
Oh, racist, Burns.
Well, I'm just saying, exactly. That's how much she scrunched her nose. She scrunched her Jewish nose all the way up to her forehead, making her looking kind of Romany.
Oh, God, I got to paddle out of this. Somebody hand me an oar. I don't know how we get out of this, guys. Whoa, what were we saying before Brendan was racist?
Was I?
Was I?
I think she just said that she's Jewish.
Yeah, no.
And I said kind of Romany.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely
like
right.
Like a gypsy?
Yeah. No.
Oh, God.
No, I meant ancient Romans.
I know.
Yeah. So I was being ageist. Look, when I'm being racist, I think we'll all know. Yeah. It'll be on a poster. Yeah. There won't be any grey area. You won't have to use the word kinda. Yeah.
It's what? The fact that you did the lighting change. Now I'm going to tell you what's really wrong with the world.
Oh, so Jess, back to you.
Yeah.
So second show, second night in, you all settled in and get how are you? Are you? Where are you staying? Are you staying with friends?
I've got cousins.
Oh, so you're not paying a fortune on accommodation?
I've got cousins in Morningside. I've fallen on my feet big time.
Wow.
Except I have got two nephews that wake me up very, very, very early. But apart from that, it's amazing.
Oh God. Yeah. We had a disaster with our. We turned up to our flat. We got in on the Sunday. Turned up to our flat and it was like it had been squatted in. The beds were just slept in and they were still washing in the washing machine. There were empty McDonald's cartons everywhere. The carpet was disgusting.
The balls of landlords up here.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Well,
little Goldilocks acting like she didn't
know
what went on.
There were three bowls of porridge. And I called the landlords and they were like, oh, well, is it that bad? I was like, yeah, it's that fucking bad. You've got to get round. And they came round. And I think they were expecting us just to be fussy Londoners, you know, to come round and go, oh, come on, it's not that bad. And a woman walked in and just went, fuck. Like, we've clearly missed this off a list somewhere.
Yeah.
So they were good about it. They sent us to a restaurant down the road for and said, eat and drink whatever you like. So we ordered 3 bottles of Prosecco and had 4 courses, good, even though we weren't hungry. And we were there for about 4 hours while
we'll
they just
puke it up and put it in some Tupperware for later.
Yeah. We sort of did. We were on a fringe budget, mate. And yeah, they sent like a team of cleaners in or whatever, and they just gutted the place in the 4 hours we were out, and then sent someone around the next day to do the carpets and stuff. But it was just, you can't get that out of your head, what you've seen, you know, when you they put all new bedding on and cleaned everything, but you're still like, I saw what this was like yesterday and I think I'm going to get pregnant from these sheets. I can't.
Oh, God.
It was so, when you just got off the train and you're stressed, it was the last thing you want to walk into.
How much are you paying?
£1,000 each.
Ah!
£1,000 each. And that's what you get, you know.
For 3 bed.
It was horrific for 3 bed. Yeah, it's £3,000 for a 3 bed.
Mad. And the weird thing is,
so mad.
Some people are going, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the gasp of, how'd you get that deal?
Yeah. You don't want to see who I had to suck off. No, I. But have you had any disasters, accommodation disasters in Edinburgh? Because I just keep hearing about people just rocking up and there's rats or mice or.
I've heard nightmares.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're not there at the start, but towards the end, a lot of rats and mice in the apartment.
The comics are moving in. We're going to eat good this month. These people are disgusting.
I think they do pretty much pay their mortgages for the rest of the year with our month. Sure. Don't they? Must do.
Oh, it was funny. Like when I first used to come up here, my flat was always an upgrade from where I lived, and now I've got like a nice house in the country, and I'm like, how the fuck did I ever think this was good?
Yeah.
Just like, I was always happy with like, it's got a tall ceiling.
Yeah. So, that means it's fucking freezing at night.
Yeah, the roof's high.
The first time I came to Edinburgh, I was one of those pricks in a student theatre company in 1995.
Oh, you the cunts that sing at night.
I was one of those cunts. I'm so sorry.
Up in Marchment, fucking practicing their dance along.
Wouldn't it be weird if this was the exact same moment they were both talking about? Yeah. Like he got more and more specific. And he's like,
HMS Pinafore? I remember actually my first sober year up here, and I had my sober buddy with me, Tat, and it was only in Edinburgh. And it was one of those moments where we realized, like, life's going to be fine. It's going to be all right. We can do this. Because we were walking home at 6 a.m. We'd done an all-nighter. I think we'd been out with Glenn even. And we're walking at 6 a.m. And this bloke, this old bloke with no hair and a leotard and pointy shoes and like fucking full body leotard comes running down the street with a sense of urgency. And we were like, only at the Edinburgh Festival can you see a guy dressed as the Pied Piper thinking he's got something important to do. And as he ran down, we both just went, there'd better be 1,000 rats behind that car. And we just rolled around, cracking up laughing, like obviously stayed up all night. And it was just one of those beautiful, like, she was just going, what? What is that guy? What? And it was one of those beautiful things like, wow, I don't need mushrooms.
Yeah.
I just have to
just
come to
the Edinburgh Fringe.
You just need, yeah, festival.
I just need to come to Edinburgh Festival and stay awake for a month.
Yeah, mushrooms. Mushrooms are actually kind of dull it.
Because you're not really sure.
Yeah, it takes the whole edge off.
Absolutely right.
I had that problem. I was in at the Montreal Festival where the whole city is just, it's all whimsy. And I can't take that much whimsy because I can't tell the difference. And I was with a friend. We just watched a woman fall down in the street. And we were just like, it's just pareer. And then somebody else went and helped her up. And it was like, oh, we're assholes. We just sat and watched a lady fall on the ground and just laughed at her.
I love it.
Because I'm waiting for, like, you know, like where the clowns dress like firemen to bring her away.
I love that you pronounce it in Chicago in French as well. Oh, yeah. Just pour rear.
Oh, God. Just pour rear. I don't do the voices so well. I do one voice. That's what I get hired for in cartoons. It's just
this. That's magnificent. That is awesome. Did you point?
Yeah, we're like,
oh, no, that makes it worse. If you point and laugh.
The whole there's a fire alarm in my festival is like, nah. I can't take anything seriously because I'm like, nah, it's a prank. No, I'm not leaving a hotel.
That first year I was here, there was 15 of us shared a flat. up in Newtown. Yikes. It was quite a big flat, like the flat from Shallow Grave. It reminded me of that, you know, with big ceilings and stuff. But my bed for the month, because I snored, they wouldn't let me share a room with them. So my bed for a month was two chairs pushed together on the landing. Right. And there was a hat stand at the end of it, and I couldn't work out why I kept dreaming about being chased by an antelope. Right? It's because of this hat stand that was in my... One night, the doorbell went at about 5 a.m, right? And I'm right by the door, so I opened it, and there was just a bloke on our doorstep playing a didgeridoo. And you're like, well, of course there is. Of course there is. We're in Edinburgh.
I have a feeling if you would have put that snoring in the hat stand on stage, you might have won an award. So brave.
Indescribable.
I remember actually another Edinburgh sight was last year walking across the train tracks. It was 5 a.m. and it was Phil Drupidus dressed as a Viking, right? Like, so no top on, dressed as a Viking, covered in blood, and a student walking by him bored on his phone. Didn't even give him a second look. I'm like, oh, Phil Drupidus dressed as a Viking. He was just, yep. And I actually had to ask them to go back and reenact it. And the student went, yeah, all right. And he went back and, like, looked bored again.
Oh, that's mad.
Do the police get busy with that kind of thing? Like, are they just like, nope, it's not real, go to bed? Like,
I think
call,
this is the perfect...
There's a man with a didgeridoo trying to break in. No, he's not. He's trying to fill your life with delight. It's okay.
I got pulled over last night. Yeah.
His timing's off, but he just...
This is not an Edinburgh glassing, don't waste my time.
Tell him it's culturally inappropriate, but it's not illegal.
Oh, man.
I got pulled over by the cops last night here for the first
time.
Did you? I did, because you know how they change the one-way systems? Every year you have to come almost 2 days. If you bring your car up, you have to come 2 days early and work out what they've shut down, what they've turned into one-way, right. Everything. And actually, my story's so boring. Save me.
You started it. We're letting you. You just
were you on your way
here.
To an STD clinic?
Yes, I was. Well. I remembered what we said. That you know what, the reason I thought of it was they were giving me a warning because it was just like, ugh, we have to let a lot of stuff slide this month.
But so there you go, folks, this is the time to do some crime. Let's get on the streets of Edinburgh.
No, I think they're looking after real crime, but they're just, you know, just your general shenanigans. They're going to just go, nah. Whereas normally they'd go, move along. What are they going to do? Go, move along to there, next to the other guy doing some weird shit.
Yeah.
Move along over there by the guy painted red on stilts.
You're doing a free fringe show this year. Do you find you have any of the interesting locals in your show?
No, because that gig's hidden.
Yeah, but they might be the only people who can find it.
No.
No, it doesn't
happen. It's literally not where it's listed.
Right.
And you have to go around the block and around the back and then... that's why it was so weird when I did a barbecue, because not only did they go around the block, down a piss-stained alley, up another piss-stained alley, through the venue, up through two fire escapes, and there's a massive beer garden with a huge barbecue.
Apparently, Brendan's playing a gay bar in the 50s.
And not the venue. I'm just reenacting. I'm doing all the characters in the gay bar in the 50s. There's first of all, not tell my wife, 1950s strong man mustache.
I'll box every man around the ears who tries to bugger me. No. I like it against my will. Come on.
Oh, we're back to that again. Jess, you're in the Ace Dome, is that right?
I am.
That's a nice
room. It's good. It's got a bar in it. So
yeah.
That gets people in if they don't even want to see the show. That
sounded like it was a selling point for you.
I've even put that on my flyer. I've put it on my flyer. I'm so desperate to get people
in. Put it on your flyer?
Yeah.
You can get a drink
during
my show.
No, I have. That's hilarious. It's got a bar in it.
Yeah. That's what I learned from...
You don't like me, you can turn your back.
Yeah, I've had successful shows because of air conditioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What you say, it's so hot right now.
Totally.
How many of these have you done so far?
This is my second.
Okay. Please tell me during the run whether we were the panel that talked down their show the most.
I'm only doing two, but I will report in. I will tune in to find out whether...
Tune in to find out whether or not... Like,
no one wants to hear...
It's great. I've been working on it for years. We're like, ah!
Ah, shit. Don't bother.
You know what? This, she's got a bar.
Do you know, I get called self-deprecating a lot, right, by reviewers and stuff, and I think that's a good thing. What's wrong with... What was it? Rather I was an arrogant twat. What? It's a good thing to be, right?
I think that's a non-committal statement. I don't think they're saying it's good or bad.
No, I suppose just the fact.
Is it, okay, is there a difference between male and female reviewers on that?
No, pretty much across the board, I'd say. Although I have one that called me self-loathing, and that pissed me off. I was like, I don't hate myself.
Fucking
I just
hell.
Yeah, that sounds like there's razors involved.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, I go
look
home and cut
me.
Like, yeah. I will do it.
Me.
I swear to Christ, if you don't, I will do it.
She just curved the end into her arm, and then you all go home. It's,
all right, I've cut
I don't
Jesus.
Think she's going to be able to do it every night.
Yeah. There was a PowerPoint presentation. She showed a picture of herself, and she just started yelling at it.
Yeah. I hate you.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute, I actually did that one.
So that
Angela?
Sounds a bit like my show, to be honest.
This must be awkward.
That does sound a bit like my 2004 show.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. I'm kind of embarrassed.
I was at your Glastonbury show, the mushroom. We talked about mushrooms earlier.
Oh, no.
I was at that gig.
Where I forgot everything.
Where you gave everyone mushrooms.
And then forgot everything that I planned to do.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about that.
Do you? Well, I'll skip along.
It's incredibly embarrassing. It's probably my most, it's a very public breakdown and just such saccharine, Hallmark card, trite fucking horse shit.
Right, we'll move along.
I was going to offer to talk about it, but that was what I was going to say.
Yeah, he was there, yeah. Tried saccharine fucking horse shit.
Yeah, he did it. He's covered all the bases.
Yep.
What was it?
Mac Lindsay said, like, if you take drugs, it expands your mind, but you can do too many, and then it snaps like a rubber band. That's what happened.
Yeah,
I'm really glad I brought this up.
I remember when Brendan had the idea, he's like, because it was that one summer that mushrooms were legal in London, and he's like, I'll give it to the crowd, and everybody be all laughing. And I was like, well, just what about some jokes? You know what else makes people laugh? a couple of whiz-bang gangs, and there you go.
I'm not sure an audience on mushrooms is the ideal audience for comedy.
Well, none
sure.
of that. An audience on mushrooms in front of a guy that's under the delusion that he's shitting Rembrandts.
I don't need to prepare or work. Everything I produce is gold.
Yeah.
Now let me drug the audience.
Oh, my God. And then I read a poem that I spent 5 minutes writing. Oh, fuck.
It was a personal record for him at the time.
No, thank God I can't remember it. But I do remember that Barry Castagnola and Matt Kirshen were backstage. And Barry Castagnola said, I think this is Keats, isn't it? And Kirshen went, no, Hallmark. It was so embarrassing. And Provenza videoed the whole thing.
Oh, did he?
Oh,
yes,
good.
He did.
I've never
seen the video of it.
Yeah, no one has, and Brendan pays a lot of money every month.
Is he holding that for a time when he needs it?
Are we now at the stage that you know that I know how bad that was?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because I think there was a couple of years where people were like, let's not look him in the eye. I don't think he knows it was awful yet. No. Oh, good.
Oh, I think we were pretty open about it.
I don't remember anyone at the time being pretty, yeah.
My problem is, with a lot of the major points in my life from back then, I don't remember it as well as some of the more indulged points, they're just gone.
Yeah.
And I have to hear stories about myself where I giggle and go, I like that guy.
Yeah.
Then
he?
What did he say? Talented man.
That's true, actually. You do move on from that, of like the cringing, like, oh, and then you're going, that guy sounds adorable.
Yeah. I just can't remember it.
What an idiot. He sounds adorable, though.
Yeah. Well, if you don't put it through comedy, you're embarrassed. Now you turn it into a show. I'm not embarrassed because I'm sharing it with people, but if you just work at the post office, like, yeah, remember when you just took your dick out and ran around that car? Like, not here. Not here. I need this. I need this job. You're coming into my work saying that stuff, man.
We are the luckiest people in the world that when something shit happens, we've got something we can do with it.
Yeah.
Yes. We've got somewhere we can go, okay, I can present this to people and get something good out of it.
Every time there's something bad in your life, you are going like, there's got to be a shred of... But I have a rule now that I process it first in real life before I turn it.
I do the same thing. I don't try and go, like, I don't try to exploit every experience. Like, this might be... I know comedians like, let's do this. It might be real funny. Or you could just have a human experience on Earth and then see if it turns into comedy later.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You just hang out with a clown instead of a real human being that's funny anymore, and that's exhausting.
It is.
I think you start to realize, don't you, that yeah, until you've worked through it, you can't make it funny until you've
worked. Until you've processed it, because, yeah. Well, people go and searching for catharsis, which I think in modern language has been bastardized into quick fix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's selfish for the audience as well, like, that they have to be there to watch you being therapized.
So, sometimes, too, you can tell people are starting to behave in a way in real life that they're trying to make that thing happen into a bit.
Yes. Yeah, no, yeah. Or you can see them manipulating a live situation. Yeah, that's like, got to be a time to... Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been brilliant. I'm afraid it's time for us to end. Thank you so much to all my guests today. We've had Carl Kinane, Brendan Burns, Glenn Wall, and the amazing Jess Robinson.
And the piss thing is now subsiding.
We will be back. We'll be back on Monday with Matthew Crosby. He will be here with Jenny B, Tom Stade, Phil Nichol, Nish Kumar, and Juliet Burton. But the lovely Jess Robinson is going to sing us out. So please take the mic,
this
Jess.
This mic or this mic?
Thank you so much. This the mic on the stand is live. So take it away, Jess. Okay.
Hit track or not?
Smooth on FUBAR
it's
as ever.
Slick. Something's going to happen any minute now.
Ah, there we go.
Oh, from the beginning. Maybe.
This is Smooth Radio you're listening to.
She just won a Spirit of the Fringe Award just right there.
Goldfinger, he's the man with a Midas touch, a spider's touch.
The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs they have sung for a thousand years. At first, when I see you cry, it makes me smile. Yeah, it makes me smile. And we're gonna let it burn, burn, burn. Gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, burn, burn.
It's that old devil called love again. It's that old devil called
Sharon Osbourne and Mel B. And you know what? We're not the only TV judges here tonight. So please welcome my sister from another mister. So on point, it's Cheryl Cole. Where you've got a fake, 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 fake for this love. Where you've got a fake, fake. Willies wouldn't recognise my voice if I sang. Hi, it's Kylie.
And Danny.
Our voices are basically the same, except mine's higher, lighter and more successful.
And mine's lower, more nasal and jealous.
I'm spinning around, move out of my way.
Woo! You're up, FUBAR Radio! Jesse Jack!
Like a storm in the sky, oh yeah. Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. I mean, mama, my, like pelican fly. I mean, you're so shine, I'm loving your tie. You're like slicker than the guy with a thing on his eye.
Excuse me, you're a hell of a guy. You know I really got a thing for American guys. I mean, shy, sickening eyes. I can tell that you're in touch with your feminine side. Life is a cabaret, old chum. You know it isn't only a cabaret, old chum. And I love a cabaret.
Thank you.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Spoiler alert.
A very, very special guest, yes. Jay Baruchel.
Well, it's not go crazy. It's not that special, but thanks.
I'm a Corey guy myself. I grew up around it. My mom grew up with my grandmother watching it. I grew up with my mother watching it. And I'm not above saying there's periods of my life where I go into it hardcore.
Thanks.
So who's your favorite character in Corey?
Well, I have to go Steve McDonald. The poor, long-suffering Steve McDonald. Oh, you just get the feeling he knows better.
Every Thursday from 2 p.m. Angela Barnes, live from the Fringe, on FUBAR Radio. This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.